So Lord, bless Brian as he shares. And may he share your heart and your word for us this morning. In Christ's name, amen.
Well, folks, I want to thank you for your participation in the gospel. You have been absolutely wonderful. I don't know if you've ever seen or read War and Peace. It's a very small book. But sometimes with a book like that, you want to read the conclusion first and then decide whether or not you want to go back to the beginning. So for those of you that don't want to hear all of my sermon, let me start with the conclusion. If you practice these things, you will truly enter into the most intimate place with Christ possible, and you will enter into a life of right worship to God. And I know that this is a mixed audience, so I have some younger folks in here. And I know from my own experience that often when you read scripture, for those of you that are accustomed to seeing it on the overhead or just hearing it, it's easy to tune it out. And if you will do me this favor, if you will help me out and really listen carefully, I promise you this will be the shortest sermon you've heard. Did you know, folks, that there is a big difference between God's creation and what the Bible describes as the world? God's creation is filled with wonder and awe, and it consists of things like nature, the universe, and people. The world, as it's defined biblically, is really a system controlled by the king of darkness, whom we also know as the devil or Satan or Lucifer. And this world is hostile to God. So stick with me now, because here's the first scripture. So stick with me. This is from the Message from 1 John, and I'll read it, and if you just kind of reflect on some of the concepts, some of the principles, remember, this is God's word to us. Don't love the world's ways. Don't love the world's goods. Love of the world squeezes out love for the Father. Practically everything that goes on in the world, such as wanting your own way, wanting everything for yourself, wanting to appear important, has absolutely nothing to do with the Father. In fact, it just isolates you from Him. The world and all its wanting, wanting, wanting is on the way out. But whoever does what God wants is set for eternity. And I'd like, if you would just look at it in the New International Version, for those of you that find the Message maybe too street useful or user-friendly, I'm not sure. But this is it in the New International Version. Do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For everything in the world, the cravings of sinful man, the lust of his eyes, and the boasting of what he has and does, comes not from the Father, but from the world. The world and its desires pass away, but the man who does the will of God lives forever. And then, just one more scripture before I get into the meat of the message, and it's this, from 2 Corinthians. And this again is from the Message. So if you're not used to some of these terms, that's why. The world is unprincipled. It's dog-eat-dog out there. The world doesn't fight fair. But we Christians, we don't live or fight our battles that way. Never have and never will. The tools of our trade aren't for marketing or manipulation, but they are for demolishing that entire massively corrupt culture. We use our powerful God tools for smashing warped philosophies, tearing down barriers erected against the truth of God, fitting every loose thought and emotion and impulse into the structure of life shaped by Christ. Our tools are ready at hand for clearing the ground of every obstruction and building lives of obedience into maturity. And I thought that this author summed it up well. His name is John Piper, and he writes this. So I want to read it, and I want to read it carefully, and I just want you to ruminate on some of these thoughts. He is a wise man. The greatest enemy of hunger for God is not poison, but apple pie. It is not the banquet of the wicked that dulls our appetite for heaven, but it is endless nibbling at the table of the world. It's not the X-rated video, but it's the prime time dribble of triviality we drink in every night. For all the ill that Satan can do, when God describes what keeps us from the banquet table of his love, from Scripture it says this: it's a piece of land, a yoke of oxen, and a wife. The greatest adversary of love to God is not his enemies, but his gifts. And the most deadly appetites are not the poison of evil, but the simple pleasures of earth. For when these replace an appetite for God himself, the idolatry is scarcely recognizable and almost incurable. So why all this preamble? Why the scriptures? Why the quote from John Piper? Well, it is my goal to try to get you to rethink your summer. Rather than resting from God, I want to encourage you to rest in God. So, what does this really look like? Before I tell you, the first thing I would like you to do is to check out your summer calendar. So, stick with me here for a few moments and answer these questions. So, what will your summer be filled with? What is your calendar filled with? How much time will be spent satisfying physical and sensual pleasures? How much time will be spent satisfying physical and sensual pleasures? Morning, Isaac. How much time will we spend acquiring stuff? Buying, shopping, accumulating, and just putting a whole bunch of time into enjoying material things. How much time will we spend acquiring stuff? Buying, shopping, accumulating, and just putting a bunch of time into enjoying material things. How much energy will be expended in becoming wealthier, more powerful, more successful, or more popular? how much energy will be expended in becoming wealthier, more powerful, more successful, or more popular? Now, here's the question I want you to answer. And I want you to ask yourself, have you sat or stood in the presence of God? Or have you gone for a walk yet with only Him and reviewed your summer plans? Have you put your calendar before God and said, is this okay with you, Lord? Sat with Him, stood in His presence, gone for a walk? Or is it kind of just a signed deal already? This is it, Lord. Hang in there with me. And in September, I'll get back to you. 2,500 years ago, Haggai told the people of Israel about the fruit of their busyness. He explained how it inhibited their relationship with God and about how a weak relationship with God was undermining their last life satisfaction. So just for a moment, just monitor, weigh your life satisfaction. I can't tell you. I don't know. How satisfied are you in life? It was a timeless cut to the chase message if there ever was one. And if you want a short book to read in the Bible, that's a short book to read. Now, you can't go out and buy a tool to measure busyness. I've never seen one anyway. But you can look within and examine the state of your own soul. That place inside you where God likes to spend time. That place inside you where God likes to spend time. If your soul is languishing or if it's starving and you are really hungry and thirsty for God, but the end of each day comes and you are dog tired and you hit the sack only to fall immediately asleep, the chances are you are just too busy. So what's the solution? Well, cut back. Cut back. If the activities on your calendar don't serve to bring glory to God, or they take away from how you know you should be doing Christianity, don't do them. Get rid of them. Ephesians 2 says this, and again from the Message. It wasn't so long ago that you were mired in that old stagnant life of sin. And I want you to contrast that life with your life now. You let the world, which doesn't know the first thing about living, tell you how to live. You filled your lungs with polluted unbelief and then exhaled disobedience. We all did it. All of us doing what we felt like doing. When we felt like doing it, all of us in the same boat. It's a wonder God didn't lose His temper and do away with the whole lot of us. Instead, immense in mercy and with an incredible love, He embraced us. He took our dead sin lives and made us alive in Christ. So once again, have you made room each day during your summer to be with Christ? Is that your plan? Seriously, have you set aside time to spend with Him? Spending time. So what does it look like? Well, how about this? It means getting rid of all the noise and clutter and finding a quiet place where you can talk and more importantly, listen to him. Let me suggest this. 15 to 20 minutes of reading the Bible interspersed with prayer. I'm saying that to everyone in this room because the little kids have already left. Everyone else I am saying this to. 15 to 20 minutes of reading the Bible interspersed with prayer every day. So if you're accustomed to opening the Bible and finding it not to your liking, where do you begin? Well, let me say this. Listen carefully. Does your life seem meaningless? Read Ecclesiastes. Are you going through a really tough time, a crisis? Read Job. Are you looking for a good, comprehensive overview of what the gospel is so that you can share that with people? Read Romans. Are you feeling distant from others, in fact, maybe a little unloving? Read 1 John. Let me explain the how of how this might look. You got 15 or 20 minutes. So what do? You open the Bible and you start. You read a little bit. Then you pray what you read. Take some time and pray. There's no specific art to it. Just do it. Just start talking to the Lord or sit in silence and let your soul utter some words to God. Then read some more. Then pray some more. And if you got your watch out at 20 minutes, you can stop. You will soon find this becomes a really, really good habit. It won't take long, and you will soon discover, or for some of you, you'll rediscover if you have gotten out of the habit, that God's Word is truly active. It just isn't black print on white paper. It is truly active and living and will begin to transform you. So if you're bored with God, follow this prescription. Spend some time with him and let him transform you. The last thing I would like to ask you to do is focus your efforts on getting the most out of your relationships. This is how you can get the most out of your relationships. So in this room, if you have lots of acquaintances, that means you can make small talk with lots of people. That is clearly not what I am talking about at all. I want you to enter into the most meaningful relationships with people, one another, starting with people in this body, and then moving out. Whether you are young or old, God has directions on what we should do when we get together. So how do we do this thing called Christianity? How do we do it together, and how do we do it together the way God wants us to do it? Well, from the book of Acts, it says this. When you get together, study. Does it seem implausible to open your book and say, what's this mean to you? Well, I don't know. What's it mean to you? So study together and discuss the things of the Lord. Talk about the things of the Lord. Do Christianity together. When you come together, pray. Include prayer in your time with one another and share meals together, with the focus always being this, conversation about Christ. It is so much better than gossip and trivia and drivel. So again, Romans 12 says this, and this is what I leave with you from Paul. So here's what I want you to do, God helping you. Take your ordinary everyday life. What's it consist of? Well, sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life. and place it before God as an offering. So in that 15 or 20 minutes, place it before God as an offering, and you'll soon find that becomes your habit 24 hours a day. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for Him. So how can you embrace what God is doing for you if you don't spend time with Him and know what He's doing? Don't become so well adjusted to your culture or this world that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize what He wants from you and quickly respond to it. So when God prompts you to do something or say something or go somewhere or give something up, do it. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings the best out of you. He develops well-formed maturity in you, and I can promise you this, it is the very thing that your souls long for and hunger for. So why not start today? I encourage you to take time during the barbecue to satisfy both your physical hunger and your spiritual hunger. This is what I want you to do. And I've asked Todd to go around and listen in on all the conversations and take notes. I want you to talk with others and weigh out what has been said today. I want you to talk with others and weigh out what has been said. Then commit to a course of action and fill your summer with practicing the presence of God. Then fill your summer with practicing the presence of God. So folks, I commend you to a new, improved summer, a better summer than you've ever had. I commend you to the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you.
Just have one question, and it's, did you hear the voice of the Lord? I know Brian's going to read out what he has. I know there will be a considerable amount of thought, but we live in a Christian culture now that thinks unless something has all kinds of razzmatazz, we don't listen. It doesn't get better than that. That will be on the website in podcast form. I'm going to listen to that a number of times this summer. And in fact, I'm going to keep it there because I know there's something of his legacy that's meant to stay with us. Please don't take lightly those words. I asked the multimedia guys to flash a scripture up. That I want to impress on you. Come on, guys. First Corinthians 14 is a very, very important chapter. Because this great spiritual father, Paul, is just laying so much wisdom into this church. And so he's talking about prophecy, its beauties, encouraging. He says, I earnestly desire it. But he's also talking about some of its misuses and how to use it properly. And out of that chapter comes these few words. If anybody thinks he's a prophet or thinks he's prophetic, or thinks he's spiritual, thinks he's spiritually gifted, let him acknowledge that what I'm writing to you is the Lord's command. In other words, if you think you're prophetic, can he hear the prophetic in what Paul is writing? And there's no razzmatazz, it's just all written out. But here's an apostle who walks very closely with Jesus, and he said, can you hear the voice of the Lord in what I'm writing? In other words, the Bible. Can you hear the voice of the Lord in the Bible? And so people were tuned in to hear God's voice in a certain way, but completely oblivious to hearing it in other ways. This was the voice of the Lord. If you live your summer and what was said this morning doesn't feature in it, you have missed the voice of the Lord, I promise you. You have totally missed. If you think you're prophetic and you didn't hear prophecy in what was said this morning, you are not nearly as prophetic as what you think. If you think you're spiritual or spiritually gifted, and or I do, and I didn't hear the spirituality of that, I have to rethink some stuff. I'm not where I think I am. And if this summer I do 1,000 things and I just don't make time for Jesus, then my devotion to Jesus is not where I think it is. Them's the facts. And so he goes on to say, if you can't acknowledge that what I'm writing to you, the Lord is in it and he's speaking in it. So he says this, if the prophet ignores this, then let himself be ignored. Because he's not much of a prophet. In other words, in that church, if you didn't hear what was coming through Paul, and you thought you were very prophetic, but you couldn't hear the prophetic coming in what he was writing, they didn't put much stock in you. You lost your prophetic credibility in that church. So I know we're coming with all kinds of understandings and all kinds of backgrounds, but the voice of the Lord was in this today. And it doesn't have to be delivered with razzmatazz and lights and camera and action. Because I promise you, the Lord will test us. And he will whisper at times, and it will come in packages in ways we do not expect, and maybe we do not appreciate. And he will test us in that way. To see if we really love his word, then do you love it when I just whisper? Not just when I thunder? Do you love it when it comes in written form? Not just oratorical form? He will test our hearts, I promise you. And test mine. Because what he's trying to see is, do we really love his word, or do we just love the delivery? Do we just love the experience it creates at the moment? Or do we actually love his word? Do we love him? And I know we love him. We love his word. So before we move on, we're going to send Brian and Shelley. Can we please take a moment? And apply to our heart this verse. He who has an ear to hear. He who has tuned his ears to hear. Let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. So, Lord Jesus Christ, Lord, we're sorry when we think, when we only hear your voice when it comes in one way. Your voice should be precious to us. Whatever the packaging, we can hear you in the thunder, but can we hear you in the whisper? Can we hear you in the small voice? Elijah could hear you in the earthquake. He could hear you in the strong wind, but he couldn't hear the whispers. And Lord, I hear your whisper. And Lord, if you brought Brian to us for this morning, for one message, it took a whole life of walking with you to say that this morning. Forgive us when we have loved the world and barely even noticed or cared to notice. When we have been more consumed with wealth, prosperity, accumulating, success, promotion, and achievements. When we have cared more about those things than we ought. May this summer be full of meaningful reflection. And in my heart, some realignment. Where we might put first things first. I want to give you a moment to apply God's word to your heart in a way that's meaningful for you. In a way that you need to bend your will, bend your heart. When you hear the voice of the Lord, there's a part of us that fights against it. There's a part of my heart that's self-righteous, and it doesn't want to be told I'm a little off track. And so there's a humbling of ourselves, a bending that says, okay, Lord, you're right, I'm wrong. Examine my heart. The very fact that there's that part of me that doesn't want to hear it shows me how much I needed to hear it. Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. I just want to give you another minute. I can just feel the Holy Spirit's just pleasure, because some of you are doing some real business with the Lord right now. And the heart searching and the allowing him to apply his word to you is really pleasurable to him. The Bible says, God says, who's the man I esteem? The man who trembles at my word. That's who God respects. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Congregation, for taking that so seriously. Thank you for your love for God's word. Well, I want to invite Gary and Phyllis up. In a moment, we want to pray for Brian and Shelley. And send them to far-flung regions, otherwise known as Saskatchewan. And Gary, take it away.
Thanks, Todd. I have just a few minutes to say a little something, and not being one who loves public speaking that much, I thought I'd give you guys a chance to say it. So we put together a little video, just some interviews where we interviewed the congregation to share a little bit about Brian. So without a whole lot of fanfare, I'm going to intro the video. There's the input.
My first impression of Brian was that he just loved his kids, and we were them.
Death grip. He squeezed the life out of me when I was 15 years old.
I was surprised to find out how old he really was.
they're younger than I thought they were going to be.
How old is that guy?
At first I was dazzled, actually, I've got to say. It was the light was coming in at a sort of a funny angle.
Don't go there.
Well, boy, does that guy ever have a shiny head? Is she really with him? How bald he was.
I was wondering about the chrome dome, personally.
And just like women have women aglow, we are starting our own chapter called Men's Aglow.
Bald.
Bald.
I really like Brian's haircut.
That big barrel chest to his.
That they were very friendly.
Definitely Californian.
I was so disturbed at first, I didn't know what to say. Then after I prayed about it, it was great. I thought they were marvelous, marvelous couple.
They were definitely from California.
I couldn't believe how many people he knew by name, and he'd already been here.
The tremendous energy they brought to the ministry.
What was the first thing you thought when you met Brian and Shelley?
I hope he doesn't leave in 10 months.
I thought they were very nice and they were cool.
They're going to be my best friend.
Right from day one, it was kind of like knowing best friends that you've had for years and years.
Shelly was so beautiful, and I thought she could be a friend of mine, and the cutest kids.
Well, the first time I met Brian Fuller, he asked me how my walk with God was, and, you know, like dive into the deep end right there. And it just got deeper after that.
Faithful, loving, caring, diligent, dedicated.
Friendly and outgoing.
A loving father. Real humble. Wholesome.
Entertaining.
He's a real, real people person. Servant.
Such a desire to serve.
There's hardly any words that can totally express it. I don't know one single word. Just wonderful.
Wonderful.
Just a wonderful couple.
Well, wonderful comes to mind.
Well, he got a wonderful memory, that guy.
Really spirit-filled.
Loving.
Warmth and encouragement.
Totally committed. Welcome.
Filled with the Spirit.
Jesus has skin on.
Just down to earth.
Joyful.
Brilliant, creative.
Loving care.
Unique, wonderful, loving, and we're really going to miss them.
Dedicated and loving.
Fun.
Inviting.
He describes himself as intentional. I think that's a pretty perfect word.
Heart and gold, authentic, real, loving.
He's a great leader.
Pretty hip for an older fella.
And good dressers.
Fun.
Loving. Hospitable.
Got a lot of depth there.
My type of crazy.
Caring and loving.
Bubbly.
Hard working.
Easygoing.
Oh, very hospitable and loving.
Big heart. Huge heart.
Kind of goofy.
Merciful. Gracious.
Very kind. Warm-hearted. A true pastor.
Brian and Shelley are the most caring people I've ever met.
Well, I really love them. They were, you know, lots of fun.
Wonderful, wonderful man of God. Has a heart for people.
They make you feel that they're your personal best friend. But then when you get talking to other people and you realize that's exactly what they've done with everybody.
I think in them we'll meet friends for life.
They're going to be my friends forever.
Suddenly I just felt like these were people I've known my whole lives and haven't.
The love was evident and the caring was just so sincere.
Certainly inspired us to do our best for the Lord.
Once they get in your life, they're in your life.
Just so apparent that they were sent by God to be with us for a time.
You know, they have a mark of Christ over their lives. I just love the sense of intensity that they had. The loving people.
Well, folks, you know, he's just a great fella that we just love to pieces. And we're just really happy that, you know, we've had this opportunity to get to know him and Shelley and the little family. And
I'm going to miss you coming over for prayer times to our house. Mm. And Samuel would rub Brian's head like a crystal ball.
You guys are fantastic, and I don't even have words to say what I want to say, but
my memories of Brian and Shelley is whenever you meet them, they always have a word in or out of season, and they always have something positive for you, and it always leads you closer to Christ. So.
Whoever crosses paths with them in their lives are just going to benefit greatly from just knowing them.
They're cool.
They're cool.
They rock.
Yeah, they're awesome.
We've so enjoyed laughing with you and praying with you and growing with you.
We'll miss you.
And Brian, I'm going to miss your kisses every week. You're the only guy who ever gives me a kiss at church other than my husband.
I love you. I'll miss you. My heart beats for you.
So we want you to know that we wish you all the best. We love you. We pray God's blessing for you.
I know that the Lord calls us all to something. He's called you to this job, and God bless you as you go.
Our prayers will be with you, Brian, Shelley, and Katie, and Joshua.
Love you guys. Take care.
Love you.
They leave a good legacy of love, acceptance, and forgiveness here in this place. Voila.
Voila. So that was just a quick little splice together that happened until 5 o'clock this morning. but we did get it pulled together. We do, we're going to present something, and as the barbecue is going on, I'm going to have the video camera. And if anyone else wants to say something to Brian and Shelley, I have the full clips. I had to pare down a whole lot of stuff, and there's a lot of good content there. So if your stuff was left on the editing room floor, it will get into Brian and Shelley's hands, so please don't feel bad about that. We were looking for sound bites, people. Simple sound bites. Anyways. I'm going to get Brian to come, and we do have a little tiny something we're just going to give him. But we want to acknowledge what a great impact he has had. I've had Brian a number of times involved in my life, and this is just another one of those times. And I'm looking forward to more of those times. And hopefully he'll come back and visit, hopefully more for weddings than for funerals. But it'll be great to have you come back around. So, Brian, you come on up. We have a little...
Where's Miss Shelley, too?
Oh, yeah, Shelley. And there she is. I'm going to hand it to you to hand this over.
It's kind of like you can't have one without the other. Amen. Because even though we often see Brian in the front lines, we all know that Shelley's there behind the scenes, bolstering him up and helping him to move on to the next step. And so that's kind of what we're doing, is sending you off on your next step. This is the messages of encouragement and love, and even some cartoon drawings of kids who found the crayons out there on the table while we were all in here. So it's a real collection of wishes for you. And if any of you missed that opportunity to sign and you saw the slide, there will be still some more sheets out there if you would like to add your comments to the book to send them off. And I'm assuming, too, that we want a time of prayer with them as well. Eh, Todd? So bless you guys. Thank you.
Those sounded more like epiphanies than testimonies. I'm a little worried. That was my mother that he's kissing, and I don't think there's anything untoward there happening. But it's holy kisses, but it's still a little bit more physical than I'd like a pastor to be with my mom. But we've got all kinds of pictures. I recommended we get them a snowblower going to Eston, but pictures will do just fine. Well, can you stand up? Yeah. Hallelujah. We believe it in the Lord's design. He sent Brian and Shelley and their entire family here. You cannot measure the value of a ministry always by how long it was there. It's but by the legacy they leave. We say the same for each of you. We know fully that there are numbers of people that are coming for a season to be sent off. So one of the ways we measure success as a church is not how many people we gather, but how many people we send. So we extend our hand toward them and we say, Heavenly Father, when you sent this family here, you sent a gift to us. And we return thanks to you for that gift. We thank you that over these months, many treasures rolled out of them toward us. And now, Lord, we want to act as a springboard for them to launch them into this next season of their destiny and of their calling. And we believe that in your divine plan, you sent them to us that we might send them forth. And we lay hands on them now in Jesus' name. And we send you to your ministry at Eston College and Eston Town. And Holy Spirit, from the day that I had that same role, I knew that your Spirit came on me. I never had to strive to lead that college. I felt from you all the wherewithal that I needed. All the resource that I needed to serve you there. And I pray the same for Brian and Shelley, that the very resource of heaven be at their disposal. Give them all the insight and all the understanding, vision, direction, capacity that they need to bring to pass your will on earth, in that school as it is in heaven. Holy be your name. We pray that something that you have deposited in our community, in our church, something of your spiritual presence and momentum would go with them and propel them, so that not only would they leave a legacy here, but something of us, something of Jesus that he would allow to reside within us, would undoubtedly go with them. We pray all these things in the name of the one who made this all possible, the one who came, was sent from heaven, the one who gave up his life on a cross, the one whom the Spirit resurrected, and the one who sits enthroned, sovereign, and all his enemies are being put under his feet. That is the one who you will represent. We pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our Messiah and Lord. And all God's people said, Amen. Amen.